I want us to think about that old story of salvation by grace, as it's described there in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, where Paul says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Now, if we've understood salvation by grace correctly, we'll know that you and I are no more deserving of salvation than those rioters who ransacked our cities a couple of weeks ago. When it comes to being saved, we are on a level with, no better than, no different from, abusive, destructive, violent, thieving, mindless thugs. Now you might think, oh, wait a minute, you can't say that. That can't be true. Well, if we've understood what salvation by grace means, then that's what it means. If you don't think that's true, then we have to rewrite what Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. It's not by grace you have been saved. You've been saved because you deserve it in some way. It is from yourselves. God owed you. It's thanks to your effort, so well done. God can't take all the credit. But of course, that's not what Paul says. And we're not going to rewrite what Paul has said. We're going to seek to understand this truth of salvation by grace. It is by grace you have been saved. Paul is very fond of this word, grace. It's used around 150 times in the New Testament, and Paul pens it 100 times. It's one of his favourite phrases and concepts. Salvation is thanks to grace. When it came to saving us, the instrument that God used was grace. And Paul's been emphasising that in these earlier verses. And so he said in verse 4, "It is because of his great love for us that God, who is rich in mercy," great love, rich in mercy. In verse 7, "in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness." All these words are speaking of God's grace, God's mercy in saving us. And so in those verses, Paul says, it's nothing about you. It's nothing about what we are or what we have done. It's all about God and his gracious character. That is why we have been saved. Not because of anything we are, not because of anything we've done. It is by grace, God's great love, God's rich in mercy, the incomparable riches of his grace in his kindness to us. But what is grace? And we've heard, no doubt, many descriptions of what this grace means. Well, perhaps we can think of it in terms of these riots that we've witnessed in our cities. Imagine someone whose property has been broken into, whose goods have been looted, and then whose property has been burnt in the riots. Imagine now that person finding out who was responsible for it, finding the person who did it. This person has been jailed and found guilty and condemned. And that person, at great personal cost, arranging for that person's pardon and release from prison. But then more so, going to that person and saying, "Look, I know what you've done in breaking into my property, in looting my goods, in burning my property to pieces, but not only do I want to see you pardoned and released, I actually want to adopt you into the family. And we're going to rebuild my empire, and I want you to be an heir." Now that is grace. That is grace being demonstrated. And that is what God has, and that's what God's grace is. You see, we have robbed God of his honour, of the love and respect that he deserves. We've robbed God of that. We've smashed his commandments to pieces in our lives. We've sought to overthrow his rule in our lives. As sinners, we are all lawless rebels. That's what Paul has been saying earlier in these verses, in the first three verses, that we are sinners to the core. We are rebels against God. We are rioters when it comes to God. But at great personal cost, even the sacrifice of his beloved Son, God has arranged for our pardon and release from the condemnation that we deserve. And not only that, once forgiven, he has adopted us into his family and made us heirs of all the wealth of his grace and blessing. What grace God has demonstrated to such sinners as we are. The Scottish writer Samuel Rutherford says this: all our stability and the strength of our salvation is anchored and fastened upon free grace. And he says this: and I am sure that Christ has, by his death and blood, tied the knot so tight that the fingers of the devils and hell fools of sins cannot loose it. We're anchored to free grace. And that's why our salvation is so sure and certain, because it's anchored to God's free grace. It doesn't depend on us and what we are. It's all dependent on God, who has been gracious and merciful and loving and kind to such undeserving sinners. Not undeserving, ill-deserving. It's not that we don't deserve God's love, it's that we deserve God's judgment, we deserve God's anger, we merit God's wrath. But instead, God has shown grace and love and kindness and mercy. It is by grace you have been saved. And when Paul says, you have been saved, he's referring to something that happened in the past and is true now. You have been saved. You were saved in the past and you are now in the saved state. I could say to you this morning, you are dressed. You got dressed at one point this morning and you're still dressed. You are in the dressed state. And that's what Paul is saying about salvation. You have been saved. Not that you are being saved or you will be saved. You have been saved. It happened at one point in the past and it's true of you now. You are saved. And it's through faith, when they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who would bring pardon and release. It's when they trusted Jesus Christ for salvation that they were saved, that their guilt was removed, that their sins were removed from them as far as the east is from the west. No longer objects of God's wrath and anger, but now recipients of his mercy and kindness and love. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. And now Paul ties a triple knot. I don't know how good you are at tying knots. Paul gives a triple knot now, and he says it's not from yourselves, it's not from works, and it's so that not one can boast. We might, I've just tweaked my third knot a little bit there. It's so that not anyone can boast. Paul ties a triple knot now to make sure that we've understood that salvation is by grace. It's by grace, and now we have these three knots. It's not from yourselves, it's not from works, it's so that not anyone can boast. So Paul says, you have been saved, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this, not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. What is Paul referring to when he says that? This, not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now in English we might think initially that he's speaking about faith. because that's what it comes straight after. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. And we might think that he's referring to faith. But I want to suggest that that's probably not what Paul is referring to. The first reason for that is that in the Greek language that Paul was writing in, the different things had a different gender. So faith is actually a feminine word. And the word this is not feminine, it's neuter. So instead of saying, if Paul had meant faith, he might have said, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and she is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. But he doesn't say that. He says, it is not from yourselves. Now, the Greeks weren't always very strict in their use of the different gender, so it may be that he was still referring to faith. But the other reason, I think, is the context. The emphasis in this whole context is on God's grace. That's what Paul is underlining. That's what Paul is speaking about. God's great love, God rich in mercy, the incomparable riches of his grace, his kindness. It's all about grace. And so I believe it's grace. It's the whole package of salvation by grace through faith. Paul says, this whole thing, this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift. You see, because in Romans chapter 3, we have this contrast between works and gift. What is a gift, rather? Something given freely as a gift. Sorry, in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, Paul says this, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." So when Paul says in Ephesians 2 it is a gift, he's using almost the identical word when he says we have been justified freely by his grace. It's by God's gift that we've been justified. It's freely by his grace. And so that's the same thing he's saying here. It's a gift. It's not from yourselves. It is God's gift. So if someone gives you a gift, what should you say to them if someone gives you a gift? Thank you. We don't say, thank me. You don't say, thank me. You say, thank you. And that's what Paul is saying here. You see, this salvation by grace through faith is a gift from God. And so you don't thank yourselves. It's not from yourselves. It's from God. This is God's provision. It's God's gift. And so we're to thank God for it. Not to thank ourselves as if we've in some way earned it or merited it or deserved it. That's the first not. It's not from yourselves. It's God's gift. And so salvation by grace is God's gift to those who haven't earned it or deserved it, haven't bought it. It's God's gift. So we don't say to God, well, what can I give you for this? It's a gift. It's given freely to us. It's not from yourselves. And then secondly, it's not from works. And again, I think Paul is contrasting grace with works. Sometimes he does contrast faith with works, but it's grace that is being contrasted with works. In Romans chapter 11, and verse 5 and 6, Paul says this. He says, "So too at this present time there is a remnant chosen by grace. And if by grace, and it is no longer by works, if it were, grace would no longer be grace. If it was because of our effort, it's not grace anymore. If it's because of what we've done, it's not grace any longer. And so it is not of yourselves. It is not by works." And that truth is emphasized by Paul elsewhere. For instance, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 8 and 9, Paul says this, "So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done,
but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ before the beginning of time. That's before we ever did anything, because it was before the beginning of time that grace was given us in Christ Jesus. And he says the same thing in Titus and chapter 3, where he says, at one time, in verse 3, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. But because of his mercy. It's not by our efforts. It's not by our endeavours. It's not by our trying. It's not by our doing that we get saved. It's by grace. It's not by works. And the third not, it's so that not anyone can boast. We can't take any credit for salvation. We can't boast in our achievements, our efforts, our doings, our character, our attitude, our decency. There's nothing to be boasting about. We'll see with the football season starting again, these people boasting in their abilities. You see, when they score a goal, out go their arms and they take the adulation from the crowd. It's the same with the cricketers or the rugby players. Wow, I'm wonderful. But when it comes to salvation, there's no boasting from anybody. Not one is able to boast about their achievement, their ability, their character, their attitude, their decency. And so Charles Hodge, the theologian, says this: the doctrines of grace humble a man without degrading him and exalt him without inflating him. That's what grace does. It humbles us, but it doesn't degrade us. And then because we are recipients of grace, that exalts us, but it doesn't inflate us. So, summarizing this triple knot, John Calvin writes, we ought to observe the cause of our deliverance. For to his mercy alone, not to our merits, or excellence, or industry, must it be ascribed. So that triple knot, to make sure that we've understood that it's by grace. And then that's summarized in verse 10 by this description of the fact that we are God's masterpiece. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are his workmanship. Literally, Paul writes, for his workmanship we are. He puts the his as far forward in the sentence as he can to make sure we get the message. It's his workmanship. We are his workmanship, not ourselves. We haven't created ourselves. It's him who's made us what we are, saved by grace. His workmanship. And the word workmanship in Greek is the word poema, from which we get our word poem. Now, how does a poem come into being? Someone has to write it. Poem doesn't create itself. You have to have a poet who produces it. And that's the word that Paul uses here. God has produced us. We haven't produced ourselves as saved people. We are God's production, God's product, God's masterpiece. Which then is reinforced by that word that he goes on to use, created. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Not we've been tweaked, or we've been slightly improved, or we've been finished off in Christ Jesus. No, we've been created in Christ Jesus. That's when you start with nothing and make something from nothing. God hasn't just tweaked us and improved us and just polished off the edges. He's created us in Christ Jesus. And it's in union with Christ that we have this salvation. That's something that he's made clear in those earlier verses. In verse 4 he says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. This transformation of we who were dead in sin and deserving of God's judgment is all in connection with Christ Jesus. Outside of Christ there is no salvation. There is no transformation. There is no grace. It occurs in union with Christ Jesus. And once by faith we are in union with Christ Jesus, then we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You see, good works don't precede salvation. They don't go before salvation, so that, you know, we do good works and God responds to that by blessing us with salvation. No, they proceed from it. And God gets the credit for that too. For we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Those good works that we are transformed to do, God prepared them. He gets the credit for them. And that's why the Lord Jesus says to his disciples in his sermon on the mountain, Matthew 5 and verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Because it'll be obvious that he's the one who's behind it. It's not something they can pat you back and say, oh, what a wonderful person he is, what a good chap. It's that they might say, what a good God, what a God that he's transformed that person into what they are now. And we've got to make sure that that happens, that people give credit to God as we seek to live amongst them as saved, transformed sinners. We are God's masterpiece. And Benjamin Warfield summarizes it in this way: in the whole saving process, we supply nothing but the sinners to be saved. In the whole saving process, we supply nothing but the sinners to be saved. And so salvation is by grace. And that means that we are no more deserving of God's salvation than those rioters who run amok through our cities. We are no more deserving of salvation than that Norwegian lad who killed dozens of people. We don't deserve salvation any more than those people. And we've got to see that and understand that, that salvation is by God's grace. It's not that we've deserved it, we're any more worthy. We're all like Zacchaeus. We are rotters when it comes to God's attitude, how God views us. And we depend on salvation being by grace. If it wasn't, we would be undone and ruined, each and every one of us, unless salvation was by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. What must we credit our salvation to? God's grace. Where did salvation not come from? It did not come from ourselves. It did not come from our works. Who gets the total credit for salvation? God. There's nothing for us. No one can boast. We are God's masterpiece. He's created us. He's brought us into being in union with Christ Jesus to bring glory and honour to him, to reflect his power and grace to those sinners around us who need him. See, we have to be willing to go to heaven, as it were, shoulder to shoulder with vile, wicked people. We don't have to think that we're somehow superior or more decent. No, we are all, in and of ourselves, dead in transgressions and sins. We're all following the ways of the world. We're all in control of the devil and his ways. All of us, Paul speaks of himself as such a upright Pharisee, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. That's you and me, apart from God's grace. But because of his great love, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive, made you and me. And we should not stop wondering at that. We should never get over the fact that God has shown grace to us, that God continues to show grace to me. It's a marvel. It should always be amazing grace. How sad that sometimes it becomes boring grace. Well, that's our fault, that we haven't understood what we were and what it took for God to rescue us. Amazing grace that God has shown to such ill-deserving sinners as you and I. What grace available to sinners out there around us, within our families, our communities. God's grace can reach the worst. God's grace can transform the most helpless and hopeless, because it's God's grace.